gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the great state of Florida, one of our very personal favorites on the Celebrity Hotline this hour.
Love, huh?
Big doings on Capitol Hill yesterday.
Yeah, there was. They seem to be passing all kinds of things yesterday.
Doing stuff.
some good, some not so good.
We hate everybody morning. We hate everybody.
Yeah.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. They passed the auto emission standards bill yesterday, the president.
For the first time in history, we have set in motion a national policy aimed at both increasing gas mileage and decreasing greenhouse gas pollution for all new trucks and cars sold in the United States of America.
I got to say, he brought a lot of different disparate groups together to get something done yesterday.
And that takes some doing.
According to everybody except Rush Limbaugh. Where they're saying, we're going to have to all drive these park cars now because of this global warming hoax, my friends.
No, he's going to set standards for SUVs and Hummers as well.
Seems cars like that Rush would actually fit in.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you die to see Rush in a smart car? That would... Just his blubber pressing up against the windows.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought everybody wins in that one. We will get to that. Harry Reid. All right. We'll get to this in a moment. The Democrats, as we reported yesterday on the show, decided to deny the funds to close Gitmo.
Until there's a plan to close Gitmo. Mm-hmm.
Democrats under no circumstances will move forward out without a comprehensive, responsible plan from the president. We will never allow terrorists to be released into the United States.
You know what? I can kind of get the first part of that. Because,
we'll get into this.
We do need a plan.
But it's not like we're releasing them into the wild.
Thank you.
We have high security prisons.
What is this, born free? Like Rachel said last night, is there some point in the transfer of prisoners where you let them go free for a while? Did I miss that? Harry Reid says something completely incomprehensible. You got to let them go to put them in jail. What? No, you don't let them go at any point in there.
Look at all the damage Charles Manson has done in the past. Oh, wait.
Yeah, like Jim always says, we have a lot of really bad people in prison now. Okay. Meanwhile, hey, I think this is good from Sean. Good news from Sean Hannity on the torture situation.
Remember, she says it's a crime.
Uh-huh.
And yet she signed off on it. Then that means she signed off on a crime.
That means Dick Cheney and George Bush going to the Hague. Okay,
it's a crime then.
Did he just admit that...
He admitted it's a crime.
Oh, waterboarding's a crime. That's illegal. That's torture. Okay.
Well, he's
smart.
Thank
you. Oh.
Well, he kind of couched it and said, she said it's a crime, so she's complicit in a crime.
Ah,
yeah.
Good. Well, let's see everything then. I think this is all good news. Let's keep talking about this, and let's see all the briefing papers.
Yeah.
Let's get all up in there. Let's get our face all up in there. In the torture debate. Okay. And meanwhile, the GOP rebranding?
Yes.
It's proceeding apace.
Kind of.
I don't know what they got. They got Michael Steele and then they got Meghan McCain.
It can be a party for a 24-year-old pro-sex woman. It can be. I just think that we have people that are in this party that are hijacking it and trying to make it even more extreme.
What
did she
say?
They're going to be a pro-sex party for women.
Oh. I thought you said a perosex.
Perosex.
Scary.
Yeah, that's...
Donde los yikes.
Yikes. Wow. That's their new... I guess that's their new idea. They're going to be a woman pro-sex party. You're down with that, aren't you, Squeezy?
Yeah. Okay. Meghan McCain is pro-sex, apparently.
Hey.
All right.
And she's rather attractive.
So is this Michelle Bachmann.
Gack! Okay.
I think she needs to appear nude on the House floor every day.
Michelle Bachmann?
Yes, since she does it for her...
Oh, for her radio.
Radio.
Yeah.
Michael Steele says the GOP comeback has begun. I guess I wasn't told.
Yeah.
Why wasn't I told?
He gave a really long speech yesterday,
really
but offered no solutions.
No.
We're the party of new ideas.
We're going to get
new ideas.
We'll get to that. We will get to it.
Yeah. Hello.
We're not looking back.
We're through. We're done. We're not looking back. Mm. We're not thinking about the past.
Taking
that
the president
stuff that happened back there, not looking at it. See that back
and
there?
And then
we're
did
not
you see what he
it.
Said in the next sentence? He mentioned Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Okay, way to look back there, Steele.
We're not going back. Like Ronald Reagan said, dope.
What a dope.
All right, in fact, Julie has sent me a press release from Eric Cantor.
Yes.
He of the largest Adam's apple in the Republican Party, except for Ann Coulter.
We need listening to her. We're going to go on listening to her. It's not a listening to her. That's crazy.
The headline, Newt invited to play in their reindeer games. Dear Ms. Miller, oh, for heaven's sakes, the irrepressible minority whip proudly announces that the Newtster will join Mitt and Jeb and Jab and Moe and Larry and Curly and 50 other white guys at the next pizza party.
And
Julie
Bear
in
Brain,
Seattle.
Tennessee.
Ooh, they've announced that Speaker Gingrich joins the National Council for a New America. Which is the same old white guys with America. The same old bad ideas.
Why don't they stop forming brand new councils and just do something?
They're all about branding.
Yes, they are.
It's a new product. Look, now
at least Democrats
more.
Are doing stuff.
All right. So
now with more stuff in it.
Yeah, not forming a new commission every day.
It's the Council for a New America, run by the same old white guys.
Yeah.
They ran it into the ground in the first place. All right. So, yeah, that was obviously the big breaking news yesterday. The Democrats won't fund Gitmo for closing right now. I have to say everybody boned this up. I don't think that the White House did anticipate that clearly this was going to be a political hot potato. And obviously, you know, when you got even John McCain is for closing Gitmo, I think.
Sure. But in order to do something that big, need a plan on
That's
what
my
to do.
Point. They needed to have a plan.
And so I can kind of see why they wouldn't fund it until there was a plan.
Yes. However, in the meantime, sense. Democrats, as they want to do, sometimes lack political spine. I just, you know, like Jim said, we have a lot of bad guys in prison now. You know, we're not going to get any other countries to take these prisoners unless we take some of them. What was it? Olderman was reporting last night. There's a prison in Montana. They're like, we'd like to take them.
Yeah.
They need the jobs. Well, they need the money, you know.
Tell you what, if you released all the guys who were in there for selling a dime bag of marijuana,
yeah.
along with murderers and rapists,
yes.
We'd have lots of room for high security.
Look, obviously the threat is, if they get out, they'll kill Americans. Well, there's a lot of people that would kill Americans if they got out of prison. I don't know, but they're like, they'll kill you just because you're American.
They're killing Americans in prison.
And maybe they'll all kill us for the same reason, because they're crazy, the people that are in prison, you know. So that's the thing I don't, I guess I'm losing in this whole thing is, you know, once again, I have sympathy that here's another huge mess that George Bush created that Obama has to clear up legally and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is just, and I understand it. It's like, we don't want terrorists here. It's just, I don't know.
There is not a single person on Capitol Hill that will allow terrorists from Gitmo to be housed in their districts.
Right.
Yeah, it's purely political.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Barack Obama's allies in the Senate will not provide funds to close Gitmo until the administration comes up with a satisfactory plan. Harry Reid yesterday talking about Guantanamo.
Guantanamo makes us less safe. However, this is neither the time nor the bill, to deal with this.
Dick Durbin said the plan to close Gitmo is not dead, only the funding will have to wait until the administration devises an acceptable plan to handle the closure, the closure and the transfer of detainees. Durbin said that he could support transferring detainees to U.S. prison. He said our prisons are filled with dangerous people, including terrorists, and not a single one has escaped. Okay. Senator Harry Reid.
If terrorists are released in the United States, part of what we don't want is them to be put in prisons in the United States. We don't want them around the United States.
Well, then what?
Exactly.
That's
what's
point.
What's your
plan? Yes, another huge legal mess George Bush has created, and yet how are we going to ask other countries to take them? First of all, we created this mess at Gitmo. Senator Mitch McChinless of Kentucky.
Shutting this facility now could only serve one end, that's to make Americans less safe than Guantanamo has.
And it would not serve to help me find my upper lip.
Exactly. He said Guantanamo is the perfect place for these terrorists. It's like, anywhere that they can't get out is a perfect place. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, that's the question that is amazing. Did George Bush really think he could keep all these people, you know, indefinitely with no charges? The answer is yeah, I guess so. He figured that, you know, another problem he kicked down the road to the next president, you know, problem somebody else will have to figure out. So I'm not saying it's not a hot potato politically, but All right, Mitch McGinley.
Because it really has worked very, very well. No one has escaped from Guantanamo since 9/11. No one. And we know that communities in America do not want these terrorists.
Well, how about we just change the practices at Gitmo? So it's we're not waterboarding people.
Can we be assured
that
the practices will be changed?
The other thing he said, that this is the perfect place for these terrorists. Well, like Jim always says, they may not all be terrorists. That's the problem.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot
That's the problem with us not having a plan legally in
the
first
place. Well, the terrorists
now. Sitting there for years without a trial, without being accused of anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shirley in Phoenix also disappointed in Harry Reid. Hello, Shirley.
Boy, do I love you guys.
I love you back.
Oh, thank you. It just comes down to simple, simple thinking of what's going on. And it's so slimy, it makes me sick. Why did we end up in Iraq with some of our Democrats voting for it? It was election year.
Yep.
Is Harry Reid running for re-election?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I've been saying even about the Nancy Pelosi thing, is that, you know, I understand the position she was in, but I do wish a lot of Democrats spoke out more loudly about a lot of things.
But it has a lot to do with re-election. Jim, you know, all Harry Reid had to do was just stop at a certain point, but when he said, not in my backyard kind of thing, Jim was... said the same thing. The Republicans are cracking me up. They know this.
Yeah.
They all know this. This is about re-election.
Yeah. You know, Shirley, did you see, I don't know which show it was last night, but, you know, Karen Hughes now is speaking out against torture and what it does to our image in the world. It's
Did you see our Keith Olbermann last night?
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, now everybody wants to, you know, rewrite history. Well, you know, I spoke out loudly about this. All right, well, loudly, but behind closed doors where no one could, know what I mean? Like, now everybody has a conscience.
Morning, but yeah.
No,
I wouldn't say it publicly. Jeez, are you crazy?
Also, CNN is running an interview with someone who is at Gitmo this morning, someone who has been at Gitmo, and she said that waterboarding is just the tip of the iceberg as to what went on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So, boy.
Barry in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Bear.
Hi. I think it's really good that we have a plan for closing Gitmo before we fund it, just like the way we had a plan for everything that happened in Iraq before Congress funded that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Totally forgot. Yeah, it's a bad idea. Forget it.
Exactly. Well, you know, I give the president credit for, the closing Gitmo, but, you know, you're right. I think there's so much on his plate, but obviously this needs to be more specific.
It does.
I mean, it's the right thing to do, but, you know, I gotta say, you know me, I hardly ever criticize the president, but this one I gotta say.
Yeah, dragging its feet a little bit on the plan.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more on the Gitmo controversy on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, this is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up in just a few minutes. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charles in Los Angeles on Gitmo. Hey, Charles.
Yes, good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Agree with Chris's wise statement. You know, let's make sure that we're not committing crimes down in Gitmo now.
And what's that?
That we're not committing crimes in Gitmo.
Yeah, well, you know, Jim and I guess, kind of agree that, you know, why not keep Gitmo open? Just make sure that we're not doing the evil crap that we were doing before.
Well, yeah, it's not the location. It's what we were doing there.
It's the symbolism of Guantanamo. That
exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is we do have terrorists on American soil now from that first World Trade bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't escaped.
Yep.
Now, the third point deals with this credit card thing. You know, the interest rate on credit cards used to be tax deductible.
Yep.
That's right.
And I'd like to see that reinstated. So if you can pass it on to your friends in Congress, that would be a great thing for millions of Americans.
Yes, because, you know, they fear me, like the, like the Republican Congress people fear Rush.
Right.
All right.
Uh-huh.
I want to report on this on my desk by the end of the day, Congresswoman Schultz. All right.
Yeah, she'll get right on that.
Yeah, exactly. Did I hear? I thought I heard. So I got to ask her the details of the credit card bill, because I thought I heard somewhere that the credit card companies now are going to start trying to penalize people with really good credit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people that
they're doing it now. They're cutting people's
because you're not making any money on you if you're if you're paying your
right.
bill in full on time.
Yeah, so they're doing everything they can to make you make a late payment or to screw you up.
Yep.
See, now this is about me. So now, because you know, I told you I'm actually I'm an elderly shut in that hoards eats cat food.
See, this
but I pay my I do, like, I don't ever pay interest. I pay, you know, I only buy what I can afford, so I pay my whole bill on time every month.
You're one of the few.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like now they're going, who can we screw with now? I know, the people that pay on time.
So you'll get a bill now that's backdated a month.
Right. Like, what they could do is reduce your limit.
Right.
And
have been doing that.
Right. And that puts you over your limit if you spend a whole lot during a month, and therefore you need to pay fees for being over your limit.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. That's it's really insidious what they're doing.
See, that's the thing. And I'm somebody. I'm going, I have perfect credit, so I don't need to look into this. And I'm going, now I need to start.
Wait
a minute. You think, if I'm not doing anything wrong, they're not screwing me. Not the case. They're going, we're not making as much money over here, so now we need to figure out how to make it over here.
And as happened with me and one of our callers, too, they might suddenly, your credit card company could be bought up by another company, and suddenly you have finance charges, which you didn't have before, and they can screw up your credit rating that way.
Roz in Atlanta on Gitmo. Hey, Roz, welcome.
Oh, well, apparently no one in Congress or Senate has the foggiest idea how the American prison system works.
Harry Reid apparently believes that there's some point in the transfer of prisoners where they let them go for a while.
Well, the bottom line is, in Gitmo, they're all among people that speak their own language. They socialize together in the prison population. You bring them to America, the first thing you're going to have to do is separate them from the general population. That means you're going to put them in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to put them in solitary confinement. They're going to be with guards that don't speak their language. They don't have any interaction with people from their own country. And you ask anybody that's been in a foreign prison where you don't speak the language and you're isolated, you'll tell those people anything. That'll work better than waterboarding.
Mm-hmm,
and who's
ever
escaped from solitary confinement?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a friend, you know, a friend that works in a lot of the maximum security prisons here as a psychologist, and she was even saying within the prisons, I mean, much more so than on the outside, it's very racially, you know, racially segregated and the gangs, I mean...
I saw Oz, I know what goes on.
Listen, I watch MSNBC by mistake on the weekends.
God.
Not because I want to. That's what's on.
I'm just hoping it's more like Oz and less like, you know, Midnight Express or something. God.
All right. Big doings, as we said, on Capitol Hill with, of course, the failure of the Gitmo funding and the passage of the Credit Card Bill of Rights. We will find out the details of all of that from Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up next on the Newsmaker Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is so hard to find funny women, and you are hilarious.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Big, big, big doings. Lots going on Capitol Hill. If only there was someone wired in, somebody that, what? Chris, who is it?
Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz from the great state of Florida.
She's our favorite.
Yes, she is.
Good morning, Congresswoman.
That's some impressive music.
Well, you are
thank you.
You are an impressive woman. Listen, before we get to all the big doings on Capitol Hill, I have to tell you something personally. We talked last time, obviously, about your battle with breast cancer and how, you know, the bill you had on the floor of Congress and you know, everything that you're doing to speak out about it. I found out in the meantime that someone in my family has breast cancer.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I told you it's because of you. I got a mammogram, and I'm clean, but I was like 3 years late.
You know,
that was so touching and meaningful to me, Stephanie. And you know, the fact that you are such a high-profile personality to help get the word out about the importance of early detection and young women being focused on young women and all women being focused on their breast health is so incredibly helpful and important. So thank you so much.
Actually,
we have 301 co-sponsors of the Early Act now on the House side.
Thank you, because that's what I was saying. Is you just that's the thing. We all get busy. I didn't even realize that my last one was 3 years ago. It's one of those things that you just, unless people like you are speaking out and doing something about it, I mean, that's the tragedy, is how many people die just because they got busy and forgot to get
personal neglect. Many women put everybody else in front of themselves, and they don't focus on their own health and their own health care needs. So the screening and the awareness is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. But, particularly if you're like me and you never had any, family history or anything like that, but I think, that's
me either.
Yeah, well, really, yeah, same thing, right? You can't.
Family history.
Well, anyway, can't be careful enough. And thanks again. I just wanted to thank you again
that. Thank you very much.
Now, Congressman, a lot of stuff going on that people are talking about. The Gitmo funding, let's talk about the credit card bill of rights first, because that's obviously on the mind of a lot of consumers. Can you tell us the ins and outs of this bill?
What this bill would do is it levels the playing field between card issuers and consumers by applying some common sense regulations that would do things like banning retroactive interest rate hikes on existing balances, banning double cycle billing, playing around with due date gimmicks, because how many of us have dealt with a situation where you were about 30 seconds late on your credit card payment, and all of a sudden they jack you up without warning to an unbelievably high interest rate and make that permanent.
Yep.
And I mean, that's how some of the people who are already having difficulty paying their credit card bills get into an impossible situation that they can't get out of. So the credit card holder bill of rights is designed to make sure that we take the gotcha out of credit card bills and make sure that we can get some steadying on people's balances.
Well, yeah, we were just talking about that that was the latest thing we've been hearing, is that even people that have perfect credit, now they're thinking, how can we get those people? How can we make, because we're not making any money on people that that aren't paying interest.
It's almost like the credit card companies are lying in wait for their customers to just make a mistake. And then they come in, they move in for the kill. And that's not fair. The font size that some of these interest rate hikes are printed in is ridiculous. Look, I represent a constituency that has many, many senior citizens who have trouble with their eyesight as they get older. And the font size alone is challenging. They're just caught unaware, and so their balances spiral ever upwards, and they can really never dig out. I mean, some of these large balances, the prediction is that it would take someone decades to actually pay it off if they were just paying the minimums on their credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
We don't want to encourage people to pay the minimums. We want to make sure that we establish some financial literacy so that people understand that they shouldn't be using their credit cards as free money.
Right.
But we've got to restore some balance here and some fairness and get rid of the gotcha in credit card
mm-hmm.
bill.
Now, I know the differences between the House and Senate versions have to be worked out, but it looks like it will get to the president before Memorial Day recess.
Yeah, we expect that it will, yeah.
Okay. Here's what I love is whenever you guys try to get something done, a Republican does – this is the moment that made me go, Senator Tom Coburn, the Republican of Oklahoma – attached an amendment that would restore a Bush administration policy allowing loaded guns in national parks.
What does that
have to do with helping the people that are struggling with their credit card debt?
I know. There is very little that Senator Coburn does that I understand, or that anyone understands, to be honest with you. But that's on par with the NRA, who thinks that you should also be able to bring weapons into hospitals. So
I haven't heard such a good idea in a while, Congresswoman, to get people liquored up and armed before they go into national parks for Memorial Day. I think that's wise.
Not quite moving in the new direction that we'd like to see. It also really has absolutely the dramatic rules that occur exist in the Senate are baffling. You could never attach an amendment like that to credit card legislation in the House, because it would never be germane. But the Senate is a unique institution.
Right. Now, Congresswoman, let's move along to we're mad at everybody this morning, by the way, over the Gitmo thing. I mean, I think the administration should have had the foresight to know this was going to be a political hot potato, right? But at the same time, I think we're going to have to take some of these prisoners, aren't we? Or we're not going to be able to get any other countries to take them.
Well, Stephanie, I think President Obama definitely recognized that it was going to be a hot potato. I don't think that there was any illusion in the administration that this was going to be a challenging and difficult issue. But President Obama knows he was elected to stand up for what he believes is right. And the stain, the human rights stain that Gitmo has become is incredibly important to be that we wipe it clean. What we're going to do and what we included in the Supplemental Appropriations Act, and I serve on the Appropriations Committee, is we made sure that the administration needs to develop and write and issue a plan and assess the risk of each of the prisoners that are currently detained at Gitmo, and that they cannot be released.
Right, but Congresswoman, what I'm asking is, don't you think they should have done that before they asked for the funding? Because now we're in this political hot potato with the Republicans, right?
No, I don't really think that the order made much difference. We were going to the Republicans are hell bent on trying to make this more of an issue than it is. Mm-hmm. We have maximum security prisons. I mean, how many front page newspaper stories in America have we seen where you have prisoners escaping from maximum security facilities?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, this is an overblown, fan the flames issue because the Republicans don't have any other issues.
Yeah, so exactly.
Everybody needs to just step back, take a deep breath. We will not do anything that is going to risk the lives or the safety of Americans on the continental U.S. soil.
Mm-hmm.
And I have absolutely no qualms about that, and that's why we took the extra step in the Congress of making sure that that report is required, the assessment is required, so that we can make sure that everybody.
You agree, Congresswoman, with Senator Durbin, that you think we will get there with closing Gitmo. It's just this is just delaying it for a bit.
I think we're going to get there, and we're going to get there in a responsible way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I have to ask you about the right trying to make Nancy Pelosi the issue in torture and where you stand on that, because I find it pretty incredible.
They are lost. The Republicans are lost in the wilderness. They have nothing else. So, the fact that the Speaker had a situation in which she is trying to articulate something that is very difficult to articulate. I mean, we're talking about intelligence information that she is not allowed to divulge.
Right.
So
exactly. John Boehner knows very well that she can't produce evidence because it's classified.
Allowed,
right.
Imagine trying to tiptoe through a press conference talking about issues that are top secret and that you're prohibited from divulging.
Right.
So people who are criticizing her and suggesting that she somehow, was trying to, lie her way through the press conference or rewrite history, don't understand that when you serve on the Intelligence Committee, you are prohibited.
Yes.
I mean, bottom line is that the Speaker is opposed to torture. The Democrats in Congress and the President is opposed to torture. And we are the ones that made sure that that message was sent upon President Obama's election, that torture is not the policy of the United States, and because it was the policy of the United States and we discovered that, we've made sure that we are taking the steps to ensure that it never happens again.
Well,
and that is the bottom line.
Right, and frankly, yesterday, I mean, the President said he has confidence in Speaker Pelosi, David Obie, Senator Graham, there's a number of people now that are not only supporting her, but backing up her story, and I think, frankly, this is more reason why we need to get this all out in the open, and we need to, prosecute the people that ordered torture, not the people that couldn't have prevented it.
Let's even go back to Senator Bob Graham's comments of a few days ago, who was the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee at the time that these events unfolded, and he has backed up the Speaker's recollection. So we need to make sure that the bottom line message is what's clear. We don't tolerate torture in the United States of America, and we get down in the mud and risk the safety of our own detainees in other countries if we go there. And we need to make sure that we roll back the horrific policy of the Bush administration that allowed torture to occur, and that we turn the page so that we can restore the United States' credibility as a leader in human rights.
Don't you love everybody trying to repair their reputation now? Did you see Karen Hughes? Oh, I said torture was wrong. I said that a lot behind closed doors.
Yeah, right. Yada, yada, yada.
Thanks. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, will you host the show with me every day for all 3 hours?
I think she has more important things to do.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
No, I don't know. You know, any time, Stephanie, it is always, again, I will go back to that. It is so much more fun to be on the same side.
Yeah, exactly. Whew, I'll say. All right. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, thanks for coming on with us as always. We appreciate it.
Take care. Good to talk to you.
All right. There she goes.
Yay.
Yeah. Woo. Back in the primary days, that was a cold sweat in the Larry King green room when I knew I was going up against her.
It was a little prickly.
We got in a little spat on the radio show, but now it's all been magically healed. All right. 44 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the Gitmo controversy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Have me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris in Chicago on torture. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I have a couple of fears regarding torture, not just the torture that we have committed, the torture in general.
Mm-hmm.
The torture that we've been using is really just about mimicking that was used on Irish folks, where they found it to be torture. They found people guilty. Nobody ever did time. Torturers are rarely, if ever, punished. And once torture has insinuated itself into our hierarchy, it's part of us now.
Mm.
We can't get it out.
Well, and I beg to differ. I think that's what, certainly the Obama administration is trying to do. We're trying to reclaim our good name and say this is not who we are.
You know, I will send you a book because there are several studies that show that, and that not only that, but the torturable class expands once it's started. In other words, right now we can't stand these people, so we're torturing them pretty soon.
Yeah, but Chris,
somebody else.
Look at what's his name? How do you say his name? Ali Soufan, the FBI agent. I mean, there was obviously a lot of debate and dissension. Look at Karen Hughes saying, I argued against this behind closed doors. I mean, there was a lot of dissension even in the Bush administration with people that knew it wasn't right and that it didn't work.
We were torturing people in Cambodia. It didn't just disappear within the CIA once, the war stops. Okay, we're not doing that anymore. That was in there. Before the memos came down, there were people there on the ground who knew the techniques, who knew how to use, these kinds of tactics.
So you're saying it's just human nature, that everyone's just going to be a torturer and there's nothing you can do about it?
No, not at all. But this book, Unspeakable Acts, Ordinary People,
mm-hmm.
The Dynamics of Torture by John Conroy, cites so many studies in which they say that it's there. It may go underground, mm-hmm. but it is part of
well,
it. I don't think
right, but it certainly makes a difference if you have it coming from the top, in this case Bush and Cheney, essentially ordering these techniques.
That is just pulling it right out there, and that was brilliant, that it had to come out. And I don't think we're going to be running around the globe doing this secretly.
Right. No, I hear you. I mean, the problem is this is not, again, not a few bad apples, This was all the way from the top, and mm-hmm. it was ordered specifically to get faulty information to get us into the Iraq war. Let's go to James in Pittsburgh. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Pelosi. Hello, James.
Hello. I'm completely against just about everything you just said there and your last guest there.
We'll make a note of it.
First of all, it's your opinion and that caller's opinion, and you have nothing
about
to back it up to say about the enhanced interrogations.
Torture.
It's torture.
About
torture.
Oh, that's your opinion.
No, it's a match.
Okay.
Enhanced, you mean like that's like a breast enhancement?
Okay, so that's what you do. You just quiet the other side, the other opinion, right? I'm calling in for an opinion. Uh-huh. Do I get a chance to give my opinion on it?
Yes, I'm saying that that's a euphemism used to disguise to what is torture.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
How come we called it torture when the Japanese did it to us in World War II and then we executed
some of them? The Japanese, according to documents, didn't have psychologists available, didn't have doctors available, didn't have... weren't paying attention to exactly what they were doing. The prisoners at
we've killed
the
people, you know.
See, you're not even listening here.
We've killed people under torture as well.
You're right.
Yep.
Okay, but that's what's wrong with your side. You won't even listen to you have no.
I'm listening to you, but I'm trying to make a.
You keep on trying to put words in my mouth and aren't letting me.
James, we're not going to let you filibuster though.
Filibuster.
Especially when you're spouting off false statements.
Okay, you're trying to explain why it was different when the Japanese did it to us.
I'm using facts.
Okay. How is it different?
You guys are using opinions.
No, I'm not. The Japanese waterboarded our prisoners. We called it torture and we executed them. Why is it now an enhanced interrogation technique and not torture when we do it?
Okay, it's torture. That's right. You happy?
Yes. Yes, I'm so happy.
It was needed. Okay, so.
I'm sorry. It is torture, but it was necessary.
In 2002 and 2003, how come the majority of people, including Democrats, wanted to do everything they could to get information out of these people, and they voted for it, and they said,
yes,
okay,
because they were terrified.
And Pelosi, even Rachel Maddow, a very left person on MSNBC, interviews her, and she contradicts herself twice.
James, did I hear you say, yes, okay, it's torture, but it was necessary?
It was necessary as enhanced interrogation procedures because they needed something more to get to these people. And
they used it to get false information.
James, but they got false information.
When they started using quote unquote enhanced interrogation techniques.
James, do you remember?
When are you inside the CIA getting the information saying, "Oh, it's false"? Where did you get that information from?
James, do you know the Al Libby, the terrorist? Do you remember the terrorist named Al Libby? Remember Dick Cheney cited him over and over.
Can you answer my question?
You can answer my question first. Do you remember Dick Cheney cited him many, many times as the person that said there is a link between Saddam and Al Qaeda? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
it turned out he recanted his confession. It was under torture. The CIA admitted that it was faulty information, and Dick Cheney continued to lie about it.
Okay, 1 out of 100. Well, okay,
no, we got a lot of faulty information.
Pelosi's lying too.
What? How do you know that?
Lying about what? How is she lying?
I don't like them.
Were you in the briefing, James?
Were you?
Well, you're asserting that she was lying, so were you in the briefings? Do you have proof of that?
Yes.
You do. How is that? How come a lot of other senators and congresspeople are backing her up now?
How come the majority of people don't back her up?
What do you mean the majority of people? The majority of people weren't in those briefings,
Rachel
but Senator
Maddow,
Bob Graham was.
Rachel Maddow nailed her and didn't even mean to. Her own person nailed her.
What are you talking about?
So you didn't see it.
Yeah, I did see it. I watch it almost every night.
Okay, it's contradictory. She contradicted herself.
Nancy Pelosi didn't order the torture. The Bush administration did.
It's a distraction.
Okay.
All right, James. I miss you. Love you already.
Jesus. Okay. He's trying to throw chum in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, but over here. Look over there.
Look, when the North Koreans and the Chinese tortured our guys in Korea, they did it specifically to get false information to use at show trials. That's what you use it for, and that's what they did, too, because they desperately wanted a link between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, which did not exist, which George Bush has admitted.
Kim in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi. You know, I am a hippy-dippy liberal, obviously, because with all this Gitmo business, I've been thinking all along that the idea would be to do, like, meaningful trials and then either convict people or let them go from Gitmo. And so the idea of releasing them to the U.S. into, like, maximum security prisons, frankly, I think is an awful idea from a human rights perspective because you're going to isolate them. They're going to be around people who don't speak their language, as one of your callers noted earlier.
Right.
And then they're going to sit here, what, for years while a habeas case grinds through the court process?
Yep. Well, all good points. We will continue on that. Also, the credit card bill of rights passed. Harry Reid has some thoughts about that in Stand Up News next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, in this hour, in hour two, Senator Byron Dorgan.
Yes.
Whom we love from the great state of North Dakota on the Celebrity Hotline. And then Thursday in hour three, in studio, Carol Leifer, the hilarious comedian with her new book.
That is tomorrow.
When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorists Win. All right.
Is that true, Stephanie?
I've loved Carol Leifer ever since I just turned 33 last year. Okay, StephanieMiller.com.
Must have been you were a zygote when you were on her sitcom.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Hey, you know what? The president was able to do something to help save the environment and wean us from foreign oil. In addition, stop the credit card companies from ripping us off, and you know what that means.
What?
Sean Hannity says it's all bad.
And it was a bad day for capitalism in America. Most Americans probably don't realize how bad. Now, Congress voted to redistribute wealth among credit card users. The president is pushing costly emission standards on top of cap and trade. And, oh, yeah, the government is going to own General Motors. And all of that means the country is moving in one direction. And that is our headline this Tuesday night, the Socialist States of America.
So who is this elite group you speak of, the credit card users?
He sounds somewhat breathless again.
Distribute wealth to the credit.
I think they have. Wow. They did replace Alan Combs with an oxygen machine because he can't. Now he has no space to breathe between Republican talking points.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right. Meanwhile, they have stopped the funding for closing Gitmo until the White House comes up with a plan. Senator James Inhofe.
You have to figure out what to do with some 245 detainees, most of whom are pretty bad guys. Their countries won't take them back, and there is no place else to put them.
What do you do with a problem like Abdullah?
All right. I imagine he wouldn't want them anywhere near him, Senator Inhofe, because did he take out the... didn't he once do a chart of his genetic background?
Yes.
On the floor of the Senate, which showed that there is no ickiness of any kind in his family tree, like,
homos?
Yes. Homosexuality or divorce or anything like that.
Right.
Is that something that comes up on genealogy reports?
He doesn't want them bad guys anywhere near the genetically superior Inhofes.
Manfred Inhofe.
That is just screaming for an investigation.
You know, we said if you shake that Inhofe family tree hard enough, I bet you there's there's somebody from Bonfire Island.
Oh, yeah. A homo or two will fall
there's
right out.
There's a Lance Inhofe somewhere. Something.
Bruce Inhofe.
All right.
Now I'm going to do your colors.
Meanwhile, Representative Steny Hoyer defending Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
The Republicans want to distract the American public from the real issues. In this particular case, they want to distract them from what the Bush administration did.
Thank you.
Not as to what was said, when it was said, who said it. I believe the speaker when she says that she was not informed of what the specific aspects of the enhanced interrogation tactics were.
A lot more people coming out to back up her story. Representative David Obie of Wisconsin, in addition to Senator Bob Graham and others. Here is my favorite. Did you see Keith Olbermann last night? Did all the mistakes in the CIA briefings, including what was my favorite was that they said they briefed Congressman Porter Goss, who actually was not a congressman then. He was
head of CIA.
He was head of the CIA. Don't you think the CIA
might have sussed that out? Being an intelligence organization.
Oh dear.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, and the Republican rebranding proceeds apace. The chairman gave his speech yesterday.
The Republican Party is again going to emerge as the party of new ideas.
Oh, yes.
Such as?
It will take some time for sure. There's no doubt about that.
They'll get that back to you.
But it is beginning now. It is beginning with us.
Okay.
All right.
It is beginning with you.
Okay.
Our governors are emerging with fresh answers to old problems.
What are they?
Some of our brightest stars in Congress are emerging with new approaches.
Who?
What are they?
Like and?
What? Name one.
They can't.
He'll gather that information and get it back.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
His entire speech had not one idea in it.
No.
Just
entirely fact-free.
Coming for you, Obama. That was pretty much it.
Okay.
All right. More importantly, the biggest news of the day is Jim Ward turned 50 yesterday.
Hooray!
50 years old.
Get off my lawn!
on!
Listener Chris in San Diego with a little tribute.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Jim Ward.
I'm proud to say I'm 50 years old and I like to kick, stretch, and kick. I'm 50. 50 years old. Hook 'em, Dano, I'm 5-0. 50 years old.
This is Molly Shannon. Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow. I love that character.
I do too.
All right, let's check.
Old lounge singer.
Oh, that's
yes.
Yeah.
Love it. Let's check some news we don't want to lose. Here we go.
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now here's anchor person Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. The Senate voted overwhelmingly yesterday to put new restrictions on the credit card industry, passing a bill whose backers say will make card issuers spell out their terms in fewer words using plain English and treat customers more fairly. Or Sean Hannity says socialism.
Yes. You know, yeah.
House and the Senate versions, they'll have to be, with differences will have to be worked out. It looks like the president will get it before the Memorial Day break, according to Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She just told us that last hour.
That's right.
The Senate measure would prohibit companies from raising interest rates on existing balances unless a cardholder was 60 days behind. Then it would require the rate to be restored to its previous level of payment.
Socialism.
Or on time for 6 months. Consumers would have to be notified of rate increases 45 days in advance, and companies could not charge a late fee if they were late processing a payment. How's about that? We have Senator Reid on this, I believe.
Today, we celebrate a victory for the consumer and the revitalized and repurposed Democratic Party. In keeping with President Obama's ethos of the middle way between adversaries, we took on the credit card industry, and we won. We won big. But we left a little on the table just to show we're nice to our enemies. And that's the most important thing of all now, isn't it? It's certainly the way I've discharged my duties as majority leader. So, anyway, the credit card customer can rejoice. Now, when they skim you, they have to return part of your pelt as a nice little lampshade. And when they take your progeny and stuff and roast them for their lunch, they have to send you a portion for your very own. Also, when they have you cornered by having offered you a tempting promotional interest rate and an extensive credit line and multiple cards, and then spring the trap of upping your interest rate by 1,000% and refusing to apply your payment to the balance of the highest rate first, and generally fixing the pin you to the wall, they have to say, look out, before they do it. Any of you think that's hot stuff, well, just you wait until health care reform gets passed. We stood it to the insurance companies, and now, when you're mandated to buy insurance and you don't because you can't afford to, they won't be able to take you out and shoot you. What they will be able to do to you still needs to be worked out in committee, but never fear. The president and I will make sure it's something you can take. Barely. Until next time, it's me, Give 'em Hell Harry, signing off.
Huh?
Sorry?
What?
I misspoke.
All sixes one? Okay.
Oh dear.
And finally, this is the big explosive story. Rumsfeld's Katrina antics, reported by GQ magazine, reveal how congressional investigations are whitewashes. What?
Huh?
Whoever.
Never happened.
Huh? You're kidding.
Why, I oughta.
Bush may be gone. His failures have a cost that accrues with time, and conservatives who aided and abetted Bush's failures haven't gone anywhere. They persist in arguing the crimes have ended, so the cover-up should continue. And when the new revelations emerge, the Republicans' credibility takes new hits. That's why GQ's reporting on Donald Rumsfeld is damning to Susan Collins. Oh, Esmeralda again. She made accountability vanish this time. She, along with the flu preparation. Oh, Senator Ghostly. She spearheaded the Senate's sham investigation of the Katrina disaster. The GQ article reveals how Rumsfeld's illegal insubordination contributed to the delayed federal response during Katrina. The national response plan specified the defense secretary was to take direction from Secretary Chertoff, who belatedly ordered additional troops to New Orleans. We'll get into all the details, but it is chilling. We have Rummy's reaction.
My land. I never heard of such a to-do in all my born days. Holy smokes, it seems I'm being lambasted as an obstructionist and insubordinate because I didn't send troops into New Orleans 10 minutes after Katrina hit. Well, dog my cats if I don't think that's just a load of hooey, horse twaddle, moonshine, and bullpucky. My stars and garters, is I supposed to mollycoddle those ne'er-do-wells and miscreants? What the Sam Hill ever happened to good old-fashioned gumption? Well, I swan, it seems to me that treating Americans like panty wastes and namby-pambies is just leading them down the garden path to perdition, you bet. Land of Goshen, my goodness gracious, if I knew they kept their chin up, their nose to their... I knew that if they kept their chin up, their nose to the grindstone, their shoulder to the wheel, then everything would turn out hunky-dory, boy howdy, for mercy's sake, if that don't be it all. Heavens to Betsy, what are we raising here in America? More French people? My gum, that'll take the starch right out of us and turn us all into milksops, fraidy cats, and pansies. What a hullabaloo that would cause. Lordy. It was just a bunch of water, for Pete's sake. Think of it as an enhanced interrogation technique for an entire city. Now New Orleans has not only confessed the blues, but we now know who put the bump in the bump the bump a bump, and who put the ram in the ram-a-lama-ding-dong, and who put the Benzedrine in Mrs. Murphy's Ovaltine. Can you put a price on that kind of information? Golly, I sure can't.
Oh, dear. That's all for Stand-Up News. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you like more Jim Ward's Balderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there's a title ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
By gum.
Check it out.
By gum.
By gum.
Can I have some scary music, please? Yeah, this is worth you got to hear this whole story. This is from the Huffington Post, actually. Mm-hmm. It's just another example, Jim, of how we cannot allow another whitewash on torture, some sort of, you know, no commission and...
Whatever.
No, stuff happens. Yeah. Mistakes were made.
You can't, exactly. Like a 9/11 commission, the Katrina commission, they were all farces. And this tells you, this is just yet another example of somebody doing something illegal that resulted in the death of people for which they will not be held responsible if we continue down the same path. So, listen to this story. The next day, 3 days after landfall of Katrina, word of disorder in New Orleans had reached a fever pitch. According to sources familiar with the conversation, Michael Chertoff called Rumsfeld and said, "You're going to need several thousand troops." "Well, I disagree," said Rumsfeld. "And
what?
I'm going to tell the president we don't need any more than the National Guard."
My golly.
The problem was the National Guard deployment, which would eventually reach 15,000 troops, had not arrived, at least not in significant numbers and not where it needed to be. Having only recently come to grips with the roiling disaster, Bush convened a meeting in the Situation Room on Friday morning. According to several present, the president was agitated. He turned to Rumsfeld and said, "Rumsfeld, what the hell's going on here? Are you watching what's on television?" Yeah, because Bush didn't know until they put a tape together for him either. But,
right.
Uh-huh. "Is that the United States of America or some third world nation I'm watching? What the hell are you doing?" Rumsfeld replied by trotting out the ongoing National Guard deployments and suggesting that sending active duty troops would, quote, create unity of command issues. So my people are drowning and dying in front of them on television.
And he's worried about unity of command issues.
Wow.
Bush, guess what? This is where the one degree of
Stephanie Miller
comes in.
Uh-oh.
Impatient, Bush turned away from Rumsfeld and began to direct his inquiries at Lieutenant General Honoré. Whom
we know.
Whom we had on this show just last week.
And whom was delightful.
Thank you.
Whom?
On, it was a Bush-Honoré dialogue, remembers one participant. "The president cut Rumsfeld to pieces. I wish it had happened earlier in the week. But still, the troops hadn't arrived. By Saturday morning, says Honoré, we had dispersed all of these people across Louisiana, so we needed more troops to go to distribution centers, feed people, maintain traffic. That morning, Bush convened yet another meeting. Chertoff said, Mr. President, if we're not going to begin to get these troops, we're not going to be able to get the job done. Rumsfeld could see the writing on the wall, had come prepared with a deployment plan in hand. Still, he didn't volunteer it. Only when Bush ordered Don do it did he acquiesce and send in the troops a full 5 days after landfall."
Right.
GQ's anecdote was a small part of the information deemed off-limits to the congressional investigations, which were designed to give the illusion that there had been a full accounting of events before, during, and after the hurricane.
So unusual.
Listen to this very carefully as we go through this torture debate. "The White House disclosed almost nothing about the basic flow of information to and from senior White House officials." It was that kind of investigation that Esmeralda did.
Mm.
Heck of a job.
"It disclosed no emails, no phone logs, no list of documents being withheld. Congressional staffers were not allowed to interview key individuals. Before, during, and after the hurricane, FEMA's Michael Brown said he had innumerable conversations with Bush, Cheney, Carr, Grove, yada, yada. Yet the White House deemed those conversations off limits to congressional scrutiny."
Uh-huh.
"The Republicans in Congress dutifully complied. So even though she had no idea what went on between Brown and the people he spoke with, Collins, chair of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, designated Brown as the party deserving primary culpability." So it turns out Brownie
was
the fall guy.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No wonder he's been going out and speaking out against the Bush administration, because he's pissed.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
And Rumsfeld, meanwhile,
hasn't shot
criminally
him in the basement yet.
Criminally culpable in this.
Yeah.
And you know, unbelievable.
Oh, and there's stuff about Iraq that's come out too. That's rummy and especially Wolfowitz.
Say no more. Say no more. He'll tell you when we get back.
Yes. Yeah. How's that for a tease?
Ha ha ha. Right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's absolutely perfection.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, that giant tease, Jim Ward, right before the break.
Keith was talking about this last night. Apparently, Paul Wolfowitz, one of the instigators of the Iraq War, was very much against the Sunni awakening, as it was called, which actually happened 2 years earlier. They were approaching us. The Sunnis wanted to stop killing us and basically broker a treaty with us.
He compared them to Nazis?
Yes, he said, oh, no, we can't do that. The Sunnis are Nazis, which led to 2 more years of killing and God knows what else. And I really think it was because the 2004 elections. They needed to have people terrified so that John Kerry wouldn't win. So they wanted to up the ante. They wanted to up the violence when the Sunnis were ready to talk in 2004.
Didn't we do that with someone else during the Bush administration? What was it? Oh, Iran. Didn't they wanted to talk, and they were like, screw you, essentially.
Screw you.
Yeah.
Bomb starts in 5 minutes.
Jeff in Atlanta on torture. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, hi. I know people have their various opinions about it, but I just want to put a request out there. When people are calling in, no one is asking for their opinion on what torture is or isn't. This is a matter that's settled under laws, international conventions. We have generations of precedents, and no one is asking what they figure or reckon torture is and isn't. No one asks them their permission to charge somebody with bank robbery. What do you reckon, that's bank robbery?
Exactly.
I reckon it is. A fellow came out with money that wasn't his. I reckon that's bank robbery. That's my opinion.
I love that. No one cares what you reckon or figure.
Yeah, that's my figure.
Well, as somebody pointed out, it's, again, beside the issue, even whether it works. Does it work sometimes? Maybe. I don't know. It's like if you want money, robbery works. If you want to get rid of someone, murder works. It's like it's illegal.
Right.
That's what I mean. Did you see who was it? Dana Rohrabacher, the Republican on Hardball yesterday? And then I'm listening to Rush talk about, you know, the auto emissions and the global warming hoax. It's like, what? There's no debate anymore. Chris actually asked him, do you believe that human beings are causing? No, I don't believe that. It's not what you reckon or what you figure. 99.9% of the scientists in the world reckon.
I figure wrestling is real and the moon landing was fake.
28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Your breasts are great.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ann in Oklahoma City on Gitmo. Hey, Ann, welcome.
Yes, I live in a town in El Reno, which is outside of Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a federal prison. There's a federal prison just a mile from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They kept Timothy McVeigh there after he bombed the Oklahoma City federal building.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't scared for him to escape.
Right. Well, that's what I mean, Ann. I understand this Gitmo thing. It's an emotional issue. But you know, you're absolutely right. We have really bad guys that have done really bad things in prisons.
Yes, and
In fact, I remember for a show I did on Oxygen. I mean, I interviewed a mom there who lost her son in the Oklahoma City bombing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing. It's all the pain is the same. It's all, like we were saying, if anybody gets out, they're going to kill people. I mean, that's the point. So I think Dick Durbin said yesterday, when's the last time nobody's escaped from a maximum security prison here? Ever, right?
I don't know.
I'm not aware of anybody doing that, except in the movies.
That Sean Connery movie. They got out of The Rock, but that was different.
I thought to be an expert on this facility. I was once a guest here.
Karen in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Pelosi. Hi, Karen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just getting ready to go to work, and I saw on Good Morning America, Newt Gingrich is calling for Nancy Pelosi's resignation.
Oh, please. Please. He got run out of town on a rail.
Does that not sound like Karl Rove's tactics?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Karl Rove's totally behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah, Rich Lowry, by the way, do we have that on Hannity last night? Here's the good thing, Jim. The more they keep talking about this, is it me or are they admitting that the Bush administration committed war crimes? Like I just said on CNN on Sunday, which gave Howard Kurtz the vapors.
Yes.
Nancy Pelosi is caught on this word that the left is obsessed with, which is torture. Mm-hmm. If waterboarding was torture, and she knew about it beforehand, whether it was an O2 or O3, as she admits, and she didn't say anything about it, she's morally complicit in it, is basically an unindicted co-conspirator to war crimes.
Really?
And that's why she's going through all these contortions to try to obfuscate the issue.
Okay, then I guess we need to start the war crimes trials and see who's more culpable.
Right.
Bush and Cheney or Nancy Pelosi?
Let's get all the documents out there, all the evidence, and find out
just
who
the
was
ones
culpable.
That Keith Olbermann were able to get it. Did you see them? Did you see how many incorrect things and inconsistencies and things that were left out of these CIA reports? They didn't even seem to know that Porter Goss was the head of the CIA, for God's sakes. So, you know, now we have David Obey. We have even, what's his name, Hoekstra.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, you have Republicans that are saying, John Boehner, he's got his nerve. He accused the CIA of lying to him in, what was it, 2007?
Yes, right. And Hoekstra was trying to investigate the CIA for obstruction of justice.
Thank you. Thank you.
To forget that they're recording devices.
So like Nancy Pelosi says, well, let's see the briefing papers. Let's let it all out.
That's the main thing.
I think Rich Lowry may have jumped the shark there. I think even Karl Rove is saying, you know, back off a little bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
He's a little punk ass.
Dave, and I concur, because I've been on TV with the little punk ass. Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
I'd like to reply to our right-wing friend, James, with a couple of facts, as I am the drunken knower of all things of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I thought that was me, but all right.
Well, I'm in practice now.
Okay.
The thing is that when you use terms that he can clearly understand, these are not opinions, these are facts. It is a fact that our intelligence resources are limited. We don't have a million kajillion CIA agents. We don't have unlimited FBI funds. The NSA has got their hands full. So after 9/11, when we used enhanced interrogation, sleep deprivation, and extreme physical pain, what that creates in a victim is a psychosis, a separation from reality. So when people make, excuse me, I'm a little nervous.
That's all right.
When people make false, when they confess falsely, it sends our FBI, our CIA, and our NSA in a million different directions except the direction where they're supposed to go, and that makes America less safe, and those are the facts.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, there is no reckoning or figuring whether it's torture or not. Waterboarding has been torture since at least the Spanish Inquisition.
Right.
That's my favorite quote of this morning. There's no reckoning or figuring here.
Doesn't matter what you reckon or you figure.
Oh, guess where we get it, the term enhanced interrogation from?
Where?
The Nazis.
Oh, my goodness.
Dear. The Germans always make euphemisms.
George Bush. And Iraq.
Yeah.
That's schadenfreude.
It was used to describe a form of torture that would leave no marks. Let's see, waterboarding, that leaves no marks.
Sean was just a little dunk in the water. Sean in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Gitmo. Hey, Sean.
Hi, Steffi. I just wanted to say, I think the main problem that they're not arguing with the Gitmo prisoners is they can't release them in our prisons without trying them, and they can't put them through our courts because they've all been tortured or compromised in some way. They end up all getting acquitted.
Well, this is what I said, Sean, is, you know, once once again, the Bush administration has created an unholy mess to try to figure out. Because, you know, the other thing Mitch McConnell said, just say, this is where these terrorists belong. It's like, excuse me, suspected terrorists. We don't even know. Because we don't exactly. Because we haven't given them a trial. Mm-hmm. We don't even know. You know, sure, are some of them probably? Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And others were turned in for $500.
Yeah. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs told reporters that lawmakers were correct to insist on details on closing Gitmo. He said the president would outline a hefty part of his agenda for the facility. A key piece of the Justice Department's plan to send is to send many detainees abroad. But if Congress is going to bar them from, obviously, some of them coming here, even for trial, it would be much more difficult to get other countries to accept them. So, you know, this is a bigger mm-hmm. picture than just the small political picture here right. in the United States. Durbin said that Obama's plan to close Gitmo is not dead. Only the funding will have to wait until the administration presents a plan. Reporters repeatedly press Reid on whether his opposition to quote unquote releasing inmates meant he is also against transferring them. Yeah, he seemed a little confused. Yeah. So I can't make it any more clear. We're never going to allow terrorists to be released in the U.S. Well, no one's talking about releasing them. This isn't Born Free.
They're going to be released right. into the wild.
Go, Elsa, go. It's like Rachel said last night. He seemed a little unclear that there's some point in the transfer of prisoners that allows to letting them go wild for a while.
100 paces.
All right. Let's go to Odell in Washington on Gitmo. Hey, Odell. Welcome. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you so much. I can understand the resistance of some communities of not wanting Gitmo prisoners to be in their community.
Yeah, it's the not in my backyard thing, you know?
Well, yeah, but the potential of the terrorist groups of possibly bombing or threatening their community.
Yeah.
I was pretty much, I can't remember what news show last night I was watching, and they were saying that that's some resistance. And I know that I think it was up in... I can't remember the state it was, but Montana. I know that was one argument.
Montana, yeah.
Yes.
You know, I was going to say, my friend that's a psychologist, she's worked as a psychologist in maximum security prisons up in, where is it?
Up near Brainerd somewhere.
No, it's not near Brainerd. There's other Malthusians.
San Quentin?
No, it's wherever Charlie Manson is. It's up in Central California somewhere. But, you know, and she was considering moving up there, but, you know, she wasn't going, oh, but I'll be near Charlie Manson. It's like he's in prison. It's not like people don't live there because there's a prison near there.
Yeah, but you'll be near Fresno.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do to magically.
Sorry.
Exactly.
Okay. I know we used to have an affiliate there, but.
We apologize.
Yes. Okay.
Instead, they have a statue of Kevin Federline.
Yes.
We apologize to the people currently listening on their tractor. Okay.
Stop it. Come on now.
Stephanie Miller Show. Okay. Here's how I'm going to magically heal this riff. You know, everyone says not in my backyard.
Uh-huh.
I am offering to put the Gitmo prisoners in my backyard.
Really?
Why? Because, the noise torture they were doing to them couldn't be any worse. You know, I've told you that.
24 hours a day of share.
Yes. Between the, the gay guys that live up the hill. And the boy band guy that lives next door with his screaming dog. And then I have the dog on wheels next door that barks like half the night.
And a squeaky wheel.
He has a squeaky wheel and he barks half the night. Seriously.
Does boy band sing?
Put him in my backyard.
Does boy band ever sing? Do you ever hear him sing?
I don't hear him sing. All I hear is his dog.
He can't sing without a producer and all kinds of processing problems.
Okay.
Oh.
See? Problem solved. My backyard. 42 minutes. They'll go back to Gitmo just for the quiet.
Well, you have plenty of room in your backyard. You have at least 3 acres.
Oh, I do not. 42 minutes. Even the bridal trail alone isn't three. Oh! 42 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on the Gitmo debate and the Nancy Pelosi story as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you have any disgruntled employees?
Hell, they're all disgruntled. I ain't running a damn daisy farm. My motto is do it my way or watch your butt.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Bill in Wisconsin on Gitmo. Bill, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Hello. Hey, I've got the answer for Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
We send half of them to Mexico because all the Mexicans are up here. The other half we send to a big ranch in Crawford, Texas, and let them worry about them.
Okay. All right. I like my backyard idea better, but... Okay.
Wait a minute. All the Mexicans are up here?
Uh-huh.
What?
That was probably a Minuteman. Okay. Let's...
But then he made sense in the second half of that.
I know.
So
That was confusing. Okay. Bill Kristol on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, on the closing of Gitmo.
The Democrats are wrapped around the axle on a set of issues that conventional wisdom, not just among Democrats, but among Republicans too, 3 months ago, was that everyone, Republicans, should shy away from. I think McConnell deserves a lot of credit for fighting on this, and Cheney deserves a lot of credit for really taking the fight to the Democrats on this.
Oh, please. Whatever. Oh, that dick. Okay, let's go to
Cheney.
Dick.
I think there's a chance that sitcom is going to sell. We're just going to keep pitching it, our sitcom, Oh, That Dick. Okay.
Cheney.
Ken. Yes.
Okay.
Ken in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I don't think what the Bush administration did was what reaches the threshold of torture as defined by the UN. Threat of imminent death or severe pain. And Eric Holder knows.
Have you ever been drowned?
And he never... No, but I've been in the military, and I've gone through exercises that the military does. And, you know, I think Eric Holder knows that, and that's why there were no charges filed against anybody, because he realizes
there was no crime. Hold on now. The lawyers, all he said are the CIA agents are not going to be prosecuted. You don't know what's going to happen all the way up the chain of command.
Well, they already said that the lawyers weren't going to be filed. There were not going to be any charges filed. I mean,
right, but how do you know that Bush and how do you know that it's not going to go up to the chain of command to who ordered them to write the memos and who ordered people to torture?
Well, you don't know that it is, and I bet you money that it won't. And you know what? As far as Nancy Pelosi goes, I think they should waterboard her. That way we can find out how effective it is and what she really did know and when she knew.
What she knew.
About what Dick Cheney said? He'd give him an hour and a waterboard and Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Hey, how about
see what we can get him to confess to?
How about Obama releasing those papers that Cheney wanted to release instead of saying, oh, there's nothing on those papers and we're not going to release them? Because heaven knows we wouldn't want the truth to get out there.
Ken, I have a question for you. If waterboarding is so effective, why doesn't every police department in the country do it to get information out of suspects?
Well, because they're not allowed.
Because they're not allowed
to do that kind of stuff.
Why are we allowed to do it?
Well, because we were attacked, and there were 3,000 people killed, and they are not protected by the Geneva
Convention. But Timothy McVeigh was a terrorist. Why weren't we allowed to waterboard Timothy McVeigh to find out if there were other people involved?
He's still a citizen, and he's white because he's an American.
Yeah, he's a white guy.
See, when FDR, when we fought World War II, FDR deemed a lot of people spies as illegal combatants. And he set up military commissions, and he executed them by firing squad.
Yeah, we executed some people who committed waterboarding, too.
Yeah, we executed some Japanese people.
It was considered torture.
What the Japanese did was not the same thing.
Japanese people.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
Okay. I reckon that wasn't torture. That's what I figure.
Yeah, he's one of those reckoners. He's one of them figurers.
I figure we are waterboard Nancy Pelosi, find out if it works.
Yeah, did you see how much he's cracking himself up?
Yeah.
Hey, honey, Lorraine, I called one of them liberal shows again.
I told them
he's the waterboard Nancy Pelosi.
I told them what I figured.
Oh, we love to tell the boys. It'll work.
Ken was calling from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I guess the saying really is true. There is Philadelphia, there is Pittsburgh,
and
Alabama in between.
Yes. Timothy McVeigh was different because he's American. He got a normal haircut. He's white.
Wow. This is why people hate Americans.
Japanese did it with difference. Okay. All right.
It's different when we do it.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
We think a little highly of ourselves, don't we?
I don't know about you guys, but I was all a titter when he said he was going to give us a history lesson.
Great, thanks.
Because generally they're lacking in accuracy, just a skosh.
History of white folk in America.
Okay, let's go to Lawrence in Memphis, Tennessee on torture. Hi, Lawrence.
Well, you know what? I think this we should put the torture issue to the American people, and I'll tell you why. Once we put this torture issue to the American people, and Americans decided what the Bush administration did was okay, then now we can see where we are as Americans and where we need to go. Because if you think this is acceptable, enhanced interrogation, you think that's okay, then America is not the place that I grew up in, and we should all remember that. If you think torture is okay, fine, then America has lost its way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, but that's not how we do things, is put
people
it to a vote.
Don't seem to believe in laws.
Yeah.
Not even our own laws, let alone international law.
So yeah.
We'll do
that's
what we
actually
feel
what
like.
Law was invented to prevent, like, the tyranny of mob rule.
Mm-hmm.
See? Okay, let's go to...
Oh, I have a headache from this morning's show.
Oof. Fred in Chicago on Pelosi. Hi, Fred. Welcome.
Yeah, I got two brief comments. I was just wondering, the conservatives have me confused. I was wondering why, when it comes to Nancy Pelosi, she's on trial for torture, but when it comes to W and the boys, it's only enhanced interrogation.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that's exactly what I've been saying from day one. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? We didn't torture, but Nancy Pelosi knew we tortured.
What? She knew about this thing, which was so good and helped the country a lot. And did she know that it worked and it was good?
She knew it was a war crime. Oh, did I say war crime?
I haven't thought this through.
Give me 17 again. That's what I'm saying. Didn't Hannity let it slip out that it was a crime?
Remember, she says it's a crime.
Uh-huh.
And yet she signed off on it. Then that means she signed off on a crime.
Nope, I mean, nope. So then who ordered the crime? Who ordered the code red, I wonder? Oh, I know.
The code red.
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're damn right I did.
It's somebody here. I'll give you a hint, Sean. It's somebody you've interviewed on a haystack. Remember that folksy interview before the 2004 election in Ohio?
I hope he got fleas.
Oh, that dick.
Yeah, that's
Cheney.
Right.
He was on the sitting on a haystack in a barn.
Trying to make Cheney cuddly? What was that?
Oh, like a romantic music, Vaseline on the lens. Oh, dick, 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 dick.
Look how folksy I am.
George in Alabama on Gitmo. Hi, George.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
I wanted to say that a lot of people don't mind having mass murderers, serial killers, pedophiles, and rapists in their backyard, but foreign terrorists, no, that's too much.
Yeah, because they're the really bad kind of people.
Also, I want to take issue with the idea that they all speak the same language. We got people from several different countries.
Yeah.
People speak Arabic, people speak Pashto, Urdu, Dari, you know, mm-hmm. They're not all from the same block.
My point is, I figure it ain't torture because they're all
burning.
They're burning, and that's how I'm figuring and reckoning that it ain't torture. Okay. Just recapping for you now, our right-wing caller, Michael in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Michael.
Well, good afternoon. Listen to some of your calls. I'm reminded why I start drinking before lunch. you know, I say let those Gitmo guys into the general prison population. I don't think our boys would have a hard time keeping them silent.
Ah, yeah. Well, but, you know, again, you guys said that's another problem. I mean, you know, there are a bunch of problems with this legally and, practically.
And so thank you, George Bush, for setting all this up for
yes.
us.
Craig in San Luis Obispo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. A couple of things. I used to work at a prison, California
yes.
State Prison.
Yes.
There's no problem sending these guys to our prisons. The Republicans are, you know, stirring the pot up and everything. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, you guys are giving me a headache.
Uh-oh.
Behind my eye with all these right-wingers coming on the show. I think you
But you know why we have to put them on, Craig? Because I figure we need to hear from the other side. I reckon we need to hear what they reckon torture is or isn't.
I think you guys should have a button that automatically transfers them to Rush Limbaugh. That's all I have to say about it.
We got to get call forwarding on some of our lines. Just the drag out of gas bag will be on in an hour.
But they're so fun to play with, like a cat toy.
Yeah. Little cat toys. Paris Hilton hates her neighbors.
Oh, my God.
We'll hear directly from Paris in Tinsel Talk next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Don't forget tomorrow in hour number two, Senator Byron Dorgan of the great state of North Dakota. And in hour number three, in this hour right here, Carol Leifer.
Tomorrow! Woohoo!
Live in the studio, comedian extraordinaire on her new book, When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorists Win.
That's true.
I have loved her since I first started watching her stand up last year when I was 32. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warner.
You and all I want to do is boogaloo.
Hey, that must mean you were a blastocyst when you appeared on her sitcom.
All right, yes, we will talk about my appearance on her sitcom in which I uttered the words Bone King. That's that explains why my acting career is where it is presently. All right.
But did you get blown up? You have an acting career?
That was it. Yeah. That killed it.
Well, yeah, like at least you didn't get blown up like Jim in a major motion picture.
Yes, Jim Ward. Oh, he was the doctor that got blown up in Spider-Man. Here's a tip for you. If you're watching Jim Ward in a film, don't go to your friend. Oh, my God, look, it's Jim Ward. It's
Don't turn away for a second.
No. All right. Here's a fun fact about Jim. He survived every edition of the Stephanie Miller Show. We've never killed him.
So far.
Okay.
So far.
Things
the
are
hours are killing me, but that's...
We're slowly killing him over time.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the president yesterday, he found a way to do something to help save the environment and wean us from foreign oil.
Mm-hmm. No longer will we accept the notion that our politics are too small, our nation too divided, our people too weary of broken promises and lost opportunities to take up a historic calling.
In the White House aviary.
Or obviously. As the drug addict gas bag Rush Limbaugh said, we're all going to have to drive these little putt-putts and just because of this hoax of global warming, my friends.
Yeah, I think once again Rush Limbaugh didn't do his research because all these standards will apply to minivans, to Hummers, to SUVs, to things like that as well.
All we care about is my kingdom to see Rush Limbaugh in a smart car.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's jaws of life to get him out.
You could probably, like, see the oxycontin popping out of his fat folds. They'd just all be pressed against the window.
Crisco to squeeze him in there.
All right. All right. In one of these mornings where we hate everybody, the Democrats decided not to give the president the funding to close Gitmo. Harry Reid yesterday.
Democrats under no circumstances will move forward without a comprehensive, responsible plan from the president. We will never allow terrorists to be released into the United States.
Yeah, because that was the president's plan. It's the Born Free plan. Like Elsa, we were just going to release them into the wild, into the United States. Yeah. Because, by the way, Jim, you know who's ever escaped from a maximum security prison?
Nobody.
That one guy in the Sean Connery movie.
Well, Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins has.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Meanwhile, the GOP rebranding, how's that going for them?
Oh,
as Dr. Phil would say.
Busters.
Michael Steele gave a speech yesterday.
So what's the loyal opposition to do with this popular president? Well, we're going to speak truth to power.
Go.
We're going to speak directly, and we are going to take them on.
Good.
Every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
On every street corner and in every neighborhood. This is not about personalities. This is about the very sizable gap emerging between America's opinion of the president, the man, and America's opinion of the president's policies.
Really?
In fact, it is not a gap. It is a chasm.
Ooh.
Oh, dear. Oh. Did you have any examples?
No.
There
was not a single specific in that speech yesterday.
Not a single new idea.
No.
From the Party of No Ideas. All right. By the way, speaking of the Party of No Ideas, you know, I recently debated, the right-wing... radio host Ed in California has some Roger Hedgehog fun facts.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Hedgecock.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was rather Roger Hedgehog.
No, it's cock.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, here are the fun facts from Ed in Encinitas, California. From Wikipedia, here is a 1 degree of
Stephanie Miller
separation.
Okay. Wikipedia is notoriously...
Loosey-goosey?
Loosey-goosey
no,
with some
though.
Facts, though.
I did my own research.
Okay.
Hedgehog.
Cock!
Excuse me?
Kamhawk.
Hedgecock.
Oh, his name is Hedgecock.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He used to fill in for Rush Limbaugh a lot.
Sorry, what?
Excuse me?
I don't know. I just thought it was time to shout things.
Hedgehog. First
cock.
Hedgecock. Hedgecock. First became active in politics at an early age, having volunteered to work in U.S. Senator Barry Goldwater's failed 1964 bid for the presidency.
Oh.
What would be the 1 degree of Stephanie Miller separation?
Your father ran for vice
Barry
president.
Goldwater. Barry Goldwater. Roger campaigned when he was just a little hedgecock. He campaigned for my dad in Goldwater. In 1983, he was elected mayor of San Diego. In 1985, he was forced from office after a retrial convicted him on one count of conspiracy and 12 counts of perjury involving then-District Attorney Ed Miller asserted improper campaign contributions. His first trial ended in a mistrial due to a hung jury. That's funny. The Hedgecock trial ended in a hung jury. Interesting.
Isn't that ironic?
Uh-huh.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Beaver! What?
Excuse me, Jim?
Wrong story.
No, we're not in Beaver Stack.
I'm sorry.
To settle the case, Hedgehog...
Cock!
...in agreement with prosecutors allowed a misdemeanor charge to stand. The charge was dismissed after Hedgecock successfully completed a short period of probation. And those are the fun facts from
Rooster.
Ed in Encinitas. Hmm?
Shrub Rooster.
Okay. All right.
There's only one reason you did that story, right?
Because I did a panel on the fairness doctrine with Mr. Hedgehog.
Cock.
Thank you. Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Paris Hilton has hit back at her moaning neighbors, branding them mean.
Mean?
For complaining about her late-night antics. Residents in Hollywood Hills were left fuming after she threw a party earlier this month. Police broke up the bash after it culminated in damage to a number of luxury cars on the road. I believe they were egged and keyed.
Oh, dear.
And just days later, cops were called again when Hilton and her boyfriend were accused of making too much noise.
Hmm.
Oh, is your video? Probably.
Probably.
This is how you know you live in a rich neighborhood. One neighbor was so sick of the constant disturbances, he offered to pay Hilton's landlord an extra $3,333 a month for the property, as long as the pair was evicted.
Wow.
I'll just pay the rent and not live there just to get the skank out. She tells the Daily Star newspaper, they're being so mean. We're the nicest neighbors in the whole world. It makes me so sad. We have the rest of Paris's thought.
My neighbors are making my life a living hell. It is so unfair. I mean, just because some of my friends decided to cook breakfast on a Bugatti Veyron and forgot to use plastic utensils and scratched it, she's got to be evicted and run out of the neighborhood. It hurts my feelings. It's not like it was expensive or anything. I mean, this stupid car only cost $1.7 million. Cha. Who doesn't have that much in their couch cushions? It's so obvious they're jealous little bugs who envy me because I'm rich and hot. And when you're rich and hot, you can get to do things other people can't do, and they're not allowed to complain about it. Didn't they read How to Be a Good Neighbor to Someone Who's Rich and Hot and do the homework in the How to Be a Good Neighbor to Someone Who's Rich and Hot workbook? Dr. Phil wrote it especially for me, and it didn't even cost me anything. Well, I did have to make a little private tape of him, but he promised he would never, ever be shown on the Internet, and I trust Dr. Phil. So they better start realizing that I get to do what I want because I'm not poor and ugly like they are. I'm pretty sure they'll come around. After all, if they didn't, that would disappoint me. And that's never happened in my whole life. Just thinking that makes me feel better. Bye!
And finally, the headline is William Shatner goes boldly into cartoons. While the Star Trek franchise he helped make famous is achieving success at the box office, the original Captain Kirk exploring the final frontier of cyberspace in the Gabones, his new YouTube cartoon.
The what?
Gabones.
Oh.
William Shatner directs.
Sounds like something dirty and Italian.
Oh, okay.
He directs and voices Don Salmonella Gabone, who's struggling to pick an heir from his four misfit sons. Think of the Gabone family as The Sopranos meets Hollywood, says Shatner. It's a comedic Sopranos family. We have the rest of Bill's thoughts on this.
Cartoons, the final stage of my career. These are the voyages of the Gabones, my new internet cartoon. J.J. Abrams wouldn't put me in his piece of Star Trek. Fine, I'll show him. My new cartoon will be a star-studded extravaganza. I've got my good buddy Bob De Niro in it, although he was initially insulted by the money I was offering him. A little bit. You insulted me a little bit. I've got Joe Pesci for comic relief.
What am I, some kind of clown? I mean, to amuse you?
Yes. Yes, you are.
The one person who is definitely not invited is Leonard. How dare he not force Abrams to insert me, William Shatner, into the latest movie? Chef, Leonard and I, we're done professionally. Ah, dee da, dee da. However, I have patched things up with George Takei. I'm going to cast him as Don Vito Takamura. Take it away, George. Someday, and that day may never come, I'll call upon you to do a service for me. But until that day, accept this justice as a gift of my daughter's wedding day. Thank you, George. As I was saying, act like a man. What's the matter with you? Is this when you become a Hollywood Pinocchio who cries like a woman? Okay, George, you've got the part. You don't have to... What is that nonsense? Ridiculous. Ridiculous, I say.
Kirk, out.
I have wanted to do that for decades.
Yes, as have many people.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, Falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a tile ad, I'm told, on the Stephanie Miller website. Ah. StephanieMiller.com.
Hooray!
So I'm told.
Hey, guess what, kids? It's been 25 years since the first Cosby Show aired. To mark the anniversary, the cast reunited on the Today Show to relive their favorite moments. You know, that is the universal language Cosby is.
You see, favorite people snack of the hours and 10,000 blue cookies are the same as the Joe pudding.
That's why that survived the test of time, because that's who can't relate to that?
The sweaters. Who can't understand that? The test of time. Those, whew. Ugly ass sweaters.
He articulates all the, you know, the sort of relatable family values.
The CEO's kids over the dinner table with the general pool pops.
I seem to remember the first...
I always enjoy the him taking on the rap stars because he can't understand what they're saying.
I can't understand words. They feel that...
I'm sorry, I lost the thread there.
What? I seem to remember the first two seasons of that show were just hysterically funny.
Yes.
And
yes,
then it went downhill.
Yes. All right.
Got a little preachy.
It got a little preachy, and then they started dancing in their living room every episode, and it's like, no, I don't need any of that.
But not on the ceiling.
No.
Oh, there's Commodore's news coming up in our celebrity stack. Speaking of teases, yes, 20 minutes after the hour, back with, listen, it's exciting news for me, if it's about the Commodores. Much more on that. And the new...
If they were popular in the 70s, that's the only band that matters, right?
That's when my musical knowledge stopped.
Great.
Right there. All right. That and the president's new emissions plan and the closing of Gitmo, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human antidepressant. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Bob in Ohio writes, Steph, I think the real reason there's such opposition against bringing Gitmo detainees to U.S. prisons by Republicans is because so many of their friends are already there.
Do you know what they do to soft, bald, overweight Republicans in prison?
Linda in Massachusetts on Gitmo. Hello, Linda.
Hi. You know, I don't trust these people who are calling up all whining about bringing Gitmo, alleged terrorists, to the USA. I mean, they'd probably be waterboarding them in their own prisons. But I think the way to scare them is pull any federal funding that these people deny in their entrance. Pull the federal funding from their prisons. Let's see how fast they change their tune.
That's true. Well, you know, Montana's like, yes, we want them. We need the jobs and the money. And by the way, Mitch McChinless, you might want to mention, he keeps saying, that's where these terrorists belong. It's like, no, suspected terrorists. That's the problem.
Right.
Some of them may not be. We don't. How would we know? We've never even given them due process or a trial.
Have we convicted a single one?
No. And some of them were probably cab drivers that were turned in for whatever.
For a handful of Werther's.
Thank you for a bunch of Werther's candies with hair on them.
Ew.
Unwrapped.
Where did the hair come from?
I don't know. They got unwrapped somehow. Who knows how candy gets unwrapped?
They got caught in your beard, you know. It's a big mess.
All right. Rihanna. Oh, this is good news. She's, looks like she's moving on. She's.
Must be so hard for her to find a date. the way she looks and all.
Yes.
I'm being ironic.
No bid, no, I get it, Jim. No grass is growing under her feet in her bid to forget Chris Brown. She and six pals took over the VIP room of Flash Dancers on Broadway for several hours to watch a... I never get that. Apparently she was with a guy. I don't understand taking your boyfriend to see strippers. Then you'd be like, what are you looking at? You took me here.
Chick
what are you
strippers?
Looking at? Yeah, yes. Chick strippers.
Really? That's kind of a big thing now, women to go to
strip clubs. Women going to strip clubs. I don't know what the deal
is. Chick strip clubs.
She was definitely with one of the guys in her group and kissing him all night. She didn't get any lap dances herself, but she was tipping the girls a lot. I don't get that.
Maybe it's just prep, you know, getting them all hot and bothered for the main attraction.
Then she probably hit him with her umbrella when he was, what are you looking at? Why are you looking at her? okay.
Ella.
I get it. That's what he said when he hit her with. Okay. Uh-huh. She hit his. Okay.
Sounds like she's reciting the alphabet in
Listen,
Swedish.
I've got more important current musical news to get to, and that is the Commodores are coming back before the end of 2009. The original lineup of Lionel Richie's supergroup, the Commodores, is to reunite before the end of the year, according to Lionel Richie.
Did we need a Commodores reunion?
Oh, yes. Brick House, the best song of all time.
Remember our first date?
Pardon me?
Do you remember our first date?
I blocked it all out.
You took me to go see a 70s cover band, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is...
I made you dance to this with me, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And did I do the little, do I draw the squares? Oh, she's a brick. How, you know how you do that?
I think so. Well, No, you had a... You had an overbite.
Okay.
A white chick's overbite.
Was she letting it all hang out?
12 lucky dancers have been given the opportunity of a lifetime by being chosen by Michael Jackson for his comeback concerts in London. The performers were picked from thousands of applicants all over the world.
Are the other ones devilish?
That is
the ones that weren't devilish.
He is a god to dancers.
I love you. I am God. I love you. I am God.
Yes.
I love children.
All right. Steven Spielberg is set to fulfill his longtime dream of bringing the life of Martin Luther King to the big screen. He's been granted permission to make a biopic by the King Estate, which is very...
Very cool.
That's going to be the bigger casting thing, even more than the Frank Sinatra Scorsese movie. Who's going to play Sinatra? Who's going to play Martin Luther King?
I'm betting on Leonardo DiCaprio.
No.
Computer says no.
He's not going to get Sinatra either. He doesn't even look like him.
Tom Hanks?
All right. Here's the important thing. Do you want your very own Tribble from the original Star Trek series? It's for sale.
It's just a ball of fake fur.
I love this item on the internet. Want your very own Tribble?
Not really.
You're in luck. It's $5,000 on eBay. The rare, large, walking Tribble, one of only six ever made, was used on these 1967 original Star Trek episode, The Trouble with Tribbles. This site says, alternatively, vacuum the carpet, then glue your sweepings to a styrofoam ball. Boom! Tribbles on the cheap. Join me next week when I explain how to make a Klingon out of a cadaver in a model railroad mountain.
Matthew McConaughey for Martin Luther King.
Take
my shirt off?
28 minutes after the hour, back with the President Obama doing something on auto emission standards and the right wing whining about it like they do everything on The Stephanie Miller Show.
How are you liking
Stephanie Miller?
Well, not bad.
Somewhat entertaining.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Madeline in Sparks, Nevada on Harry Reid. Hey, Madeline.
Hi. I just thought you guys would like to know there's been a poll taken that the only person that is more disliked than our stupid governor in the state of Nevada is Harry Reid. He is the pip.
Is there a possibility he might get voted out in the next election?
With it, if there's a God.
Really?
I would like to see a Senate Majority Leader Russell Feingold.
Nice. I would, too. I would give anything to have Harry Reid gone.
Wow.
Yeah, yesterday I just, you know what? I get a little annoyed. I was telling you the press conference. The reporter asked him, "Well, you know, we're not talking about releasing the terrorists into the U.S. So, well, you gotta let them go to put them in." What? It's like Rachel Maddow said last night. What is there something that I missed in the chain of transfer prisoners where we let them go? I don't know, party for a few hours.
Okay, you get 24 hours, but then
when we say Ali Oxenfree, you come back.
Right.
Okay, Mike in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on torture. Hey, Mike.
Hi. You've been talking about waterboarding as torture, and I guess before you start playing dueling banjos for me, I did graduate from the same law school as President Obama.
Uh-huh.
And before that, I was in the Navy. I was a combat aviator, and so like most combat aviators, I was waterboarded during SEER school. And the question would be, was I tortured?
Yes. Yes, according to all international conventions, yes. According to us, when the Japanese did it to us in World War II, yes.
According to many international treaties that we've signed, yes.
Well, actually, there's a big difference between the way that the Japanese did it and the way that we did it to our own people in training.
Oh, that was the really mean kind of waterboarding that they did?
No, there were no medical safeties there, but the procedures are stopped if there is medical danger to the individuals. If you read through the CIA memos, there were examples of the treatment of Zubaydah and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed being stopped or suspended because of swelling in their legs if they were standing too long or whatever else. And so there are medical safeguards that went on.
So you're saying it's not torture because of that?
Well, I guess if I was tortured during training, then why isn't Bill Clinton being charged for torturing me as well?
Do you really think that's the same thing?
What's that?
You really think that's the same thing? In a situation where you can make it stop any time you want and you know that you're just being trained, you really think that's the same thing?
Well, the fear that you feel when you are being drowned comes from the base brain, the amygdala, and that does not care whether it's your best friend or your worst enemy. The panic you feel is the panic you feel because you think you are being drowned. And it doesn't matter whether, as I say, it's your best friend or your worst enemy.
Mm.
I and others like me felt very, very much like what Zubaydah and KSM felt.
So are you saying it is or it isn't torture? You're saying it isn't when we do it? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying it's not torture if you do it the way it was done to me and the other people in training, as long as you have the same...
All right, well, Jesse Ventura disagrees with you, and he had it done to him as well. All right, can you hit the deliverance music, please?
And he's an effing SEAL, Navy SEAL.
Thank you.
So there you go.
Okay, why don't you hit the deliverance music? Go ahead. Chris in Yankton writes, Staff, when your deranged right-wing callers call in to opine about what they reckon or figure is really torture, could you crank up the volume on the call a little so we can hear the whittling and spittoon using going on in the background? And as other callers have noted, when the idiot ditto heads and foxtards call in and spout off their right-wing talking points, it gives me a headache in my eye. Seriously, do any of them ever make a coherent argument? Do they really think shouting a brain barf of right-wing talking points is persuasive? It's like they load a blunderbuss with the little tiny tic-tacs from Hannity's noggin and fire it at the phone. Chris and Yankton, thank you.
And by the way, we've been hearing that waterboarding is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
In terms of all the techniques that were being used. So that may be a moot point, arguing over waterboarding.
Yes. Okay. So the president is asking consumers to put their money up to $1,300 per new vehicle by 2016 behind his plan for higher efficiency standards for cars and trucks and tougher rules on their greenhouse gas emissions. In return, Obama said yesterday in unveiling the plan, drivers would make up the higher cost of more fuel-efficient, cleaner vehicles by buying less gas at the pump. It would take just 3 years to pay off the investment. Would, over the life of the vehicle, save about $2,800 through better gas mileage. The president yesterday.
That's more oil than we imported last year from Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Libya, and Nigeria combined.
He said the fact is everybody wins. I mean, here's another example where he got a bunch of people together.
Yes.
You know, same, in my opinion, is on the healthcare people that came together. You know, I mean, yeah, we got a lot of people over a barrel in this economy, but still, you know, it's a start on solving a lot of these really tough problems.
Drill, baby, drill.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Michael Steele. Was that your new idea? Was that it?
That's my new idea. That's the one. That's it.
That's it.
That's right there. That's
good.
My new idea.
Good. Okay.
It reminds me of the debate they had in L.A. when the smog was really hideous here. People talk about putting big fans up and blowing the smog out of the air.
Stupid.
Or you can make cars pollute less.
Yeah.
That's the smart way to do it.
And I'm sure that would that cost a lot less than putting up giant fans on the mountains,
and it
too.
Tends to blow back.
Yeah.
Just blow it to Tarzana. Who cares about them? The Toyota CEO, yes.
If you look at it in the long run, if the consumer's getting 30% better fuel economy, in the long run of owning that vehicle in the ownership cycle, they will probably be better off.
The Ford CEO yesterday as well. Or not.
The real opportunity to do what we have been doing at Ford, and that is absolutely make sure that we're sized for this lower demand, also to accelerate the development of the new vehicles that people really do want and value.
All right. What's his name? Is this the same guy? No, I'm sorry. Bill Kristol on Britt Baer on this.
It's
whole
ridiculous.
Plan.
Obama's supposed to be a candidate of hope and change, new policies, take a fresh look. If he wants to have liberal policies that would be very green and cut down on pollution and encourage people to drive small cars, Charles is absolutely right. They're totally sensible economic policies, tax policies that would provide the right incentives. Instead, he is updating 35-year-old policies that were foolish when they were put in. This is Ford administration economic thinking, Ford administration regulatory thinking. It hasn't worked for 34 years. Has the auto industry been in great shape for the last 34 years? It's not going to work now.
Okay, meanwhile, back in the reality-based community,
yeah, yes.
I have my fine American music.
Right,
I think a good Associated Press analysis. The White House forged auto emissions deal among long-warring states, car makers, and environmentalists. When have you ever seen a deal between all those people?
Yeah.
It's the most dramatic evidence yet of what President Obama is hoping to brand his signature governing style. In the past, an agreement such as this would have been considered impossible, Obama said yesterday. It represents not only a change in policy in Washington, but a harbinger of change in the way business is done in Washington. Under the mileage and emissions compromise Obama built, traditional enemies came together. Everyone agreed to give something. Gee, that might be an idea for health care,
yes,
or something.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of important. The federal government will now do what it has long refused to do under George Bush, to bend desires by several states to set more stringent fuel efficiency rules than Washington. States, for their part, agreed to abandon efforts to go their own way, at least for the time being. Automakers pledged to drop their budget-sapping lawsuits, protesting the enactment of a patchwork of differing state rules. Environmentalists accepted a longer build-up to more fuel-efficient vehicles. Or, as Laura Ingraham put it, that means more people will die.
Yeah.
Well, you know what 40 miles to the gallon means? It will mean, for the foreseeable future, smaller cars, meaning probably about 800 deaths more per year on the highway. It'll mean that people have cheaper, you know, it's cheaper to drive, so they drive more. The Heritage Foundation did a great study on this. They drive more, so the actual savings in fuel over the course of the life of a vehicle is a penny.
Should not. What are they going to do if everything Obama does works out? What are they going to talk about?
So we shouldn't have fuel-efficient cars.
No. Because people will die.
Because you will die if you have fuel-efficient
cars. People start driving to the North Pole.
Yeah, exactly. They'll start taking weekend trips to Alaska. What?
Does she not realize that the smart car is one of the safest cars on the face of the earth?
What? That's
crazy. And
Mini
Coopers have really good crash ratings.
Well, I said, my friends, we're all going to have to drive these putt-putts. Because of this global warming hoax business and everything.
That's socialist, French, and gay.
Here's the other thing. I'm listening to Rush yesterday. It just everything Obama does apparently is for some evil cause.
Yes.
That he's not saying. It's not because he actually has any good intention to solve this problem. It's because I don't even remember Rush's conspiracy theory.
He's not bringing
it. It's never what he says he's doing it for, my friends. Here's what it's really about.
Rush isn't saying that he's a member of the Trilateral Commission or the Illuminati, is he?
I don't. Who knows what he did?
One world government, my friends. That's what this is really about.
All right. Speaking of which, the Republican rebranding. Oh, my goodness. It's moving at a clip I can barely keep up. We'll have some crunchy audio goodness from Michael Steele and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joan in Pennsylvania for Jim Ward, birthday boy, 50 years old yesterday. Hi, Joan.
Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Welcome to the dark side. We've been waiting for you.
Are you the one that sent him a fruit basket?
It's like a flower arrangement.
Yeah, it's right here.
Fruit.
Thanks. It's beautiful, and thank God someone put it in the refrigerator.
Joan, I think you want to get squeezy with Jim Ward. I think that's what this is all about.
I am 46 years old. I haven't gotten there yet.
All right, Joan. Wow. Okay.
That was very nice of her.
That was very sweet. All right. Let's go to Buddy in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Chris, in regards to your question of whether we've convicted anybody.
Yeah.
We got Bin Laden's driver.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, right. You're right.
And he got 5 years, but with time served, he's going to be out in a couple. Mm. But Chris, I got another question for
what?
You. All the people who bombed the World Trade Center first with Clinton, where are they now?
They're here in the United States.
In prison.
In prison. What? We let them go free here in America. Okay, by the way, Jim writes, Steph, George W. Bush's Justice Department said subjecting to a person to near drowning was not a crime and didn't even cause pain. Ronald Reagan's Justice Department thought otherwise, prosecuting a Texas sheriff and three deputies for using the practice to try to get confessions.
Huh.
Thank you. Oh, Reagan thought waterboarding was a crime. Interesting.
But I'll be looking back. We're not looking back.
No.
We're not going to talk about Reagan. We're just looking back.
I just got a tweet from Larry King.
Yes.
If you want it to rain, wash your car. I guarantee it'll rain. Happens to me every time.
Just when we thought nothing would top yesterday's tweet, which was...
What happened to galoshes?
Whatever happened to galoshes?
I only wear galoshes when I wash my car. Yeah. It's just going to rain.
I could do 3 hours on whatever happened to galoshes.
And then before that, it was kumquats.
Yeah.
That's a weird fruit.
True. Is there anything he says that's not true? No.
No.
Computer says not.
Okay. By the way, is it me or did that punk-ass Rich Lowry admit that the Bush administration committed war crimes?
Oops.
Nancy Pelosi is caught on this word that the left is obsessed with, which is torture. If waterboarding was torture and she knew about it beforehand, whether it was an 02 or 03, as she admits, and she didn't say anything about it, she was morally complicit in it, is basically an unindicted co-conspirator to war crimes.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
Why she's going through all these contortions to try to obfuscate the issue.
Oh.
Obfuscate.
I used a big word so that you wouldn't realize that I just said it was
real time for
George Bush. Iraq.
By the way, asked whether President Obama has confidence in Pelosi, Robert Gibbs said he does. And it seems like a lot of more people are coming out that are backing her story. David Obey, the congressman from Wisconsin, in addition to Bob Graham. I can't remember. Keith Olbermann put up a lot of these sheets showing numerous errors and omissions from the CIA briefing papers.
Ah, but she is tortured, and she knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I probably shouldn't have said that.
Mm-hmm. What's his name? Connecticut Democrat John Larson said he's spoken to a lot of members of the caucus over the weekend. They're solidly behind the speaker. Another Connecticut Democrat, Chris Murphy, said there's a total disconnect between what pundits and talk show hosts are talking about and what he hears from constituents.
Mm-hmm.
Conservative Indiana Democrat Barron Hill said, I think a lot of people lost focus on the people who put those torture policies in place in the first place.
Which
Thank
is the whole
you.
Point.
Nancy didn't do anything wrong in terms of legalities. Anyway, Hill said he made a half a dozen visits in his district over the weekend. No one, not one person, raised the issue of Pelosi. All right. So, listen, there's more important news, and that is that the Republican comeback is the rebranding is gone.
We've seen strategists writing memos and doing briefings urging the Republicans avoid confronting the president, steer clear of any frontal assaults on his administration. They suggest that instead we should go after Nancy Pelosi, who nobody likes, or Harry Reid, who nobody knows, or this Tim Geithner fellow, whom nobody believes.
What?
Or maybe even Barney Frank, whom nobody understands.
Hmm. Why, because he's got the gay on him? Is that what he meant there?
Yeah, nobody understands
because
the gay.
He's got a lisp and talks with that accent, so no one understands what he's saying.
According to Michael Steele, Jim, the Republican comeback is well underway. I wasn't told.
You can't see it. But
he said, Republicans made me the minority party at the moment, but we represent the ideas and concerns of the majority of Americans.
Really?
Just the fact that they have been losing it a lot is that's not important now. Candidate Obama was very moderate in his views, but President Obama could not possibly be further to the far left.
Really?
That's interesting. There's quite a few things the far left has been screaming about.
Yeah, hello. Are you the far left?
Apparently.
Okay.
Tim Geithner is the far left? Larry Summers, far left.
Mm.
Bob Gates.
You know, far left things like not releasing the prisoner photos and military tribunals and,
yeah.
Steele also promised, I love this, that the GOP will not shrink from confronting Obama. He said, but unlike the shabby and classless way Democrats took on Bush, Republicans will take on Obama with class and dignity.
Shabby? Classless?
By quoting him. Quoting him verbatim. Yeah, that's the shabby.
They would never do that, like suggest that he's not a, I don't know, an American-born citizen, or, oh, I'm sure their vice presidential candidate would never suggest that he's a terrorist or palling around with terrorists. You know, the really classy way that they've treated Obama up. Till now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bad Christian, Muslim, communist Nazi.
Yeah. See? We're going to talk about the issues like that. Okay.
And he tried to, he wanted to talk about the issues yesterday, Michael Steele did, and not a single issue was brought up.
Nothing.
Okay. Nothing. Not a single idea.
We're a party of new ideas and issues.
He said they're taking aim at President Obama. The honeymoon is over. The era of Republican navel gazing is over. We have turned the corner on regret, recrimination, self-pity, self-doubt.
You cannot bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift. You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot help the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. You cannot further the brotherhood of man by encouraging class hatred. You cannot establish security by borrowing money. You cannot help the poor by destroying the rich.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There they are, the Republicans standing up for that top
1%. Those are the new
1%.
Ideas.
That's it. By the way, the Gallup poll shows 53% now identify themselves as Democrats, 39% as Republicans.
Which just proves my point.
That the majority is actually with them, you see, because...
Mm-hmm. I'm not good at math.
Obviously.
He said, I swear to God he said this, the Republican comeback has begun. The change comes in a tea bag.
That's funny.
You'd think they'd stop talking about the teabagging, as embarrassing as that was.
He said
the Republican Party again is going to emerge as the party of new ideas. It'll take some time for sure, he said, because apparently they have none right now.
Right.
So, but what they're saying is at some point they will, that's going to
formulate.
Just wait. Mm. Okay.
The era of apologizing for Republican mistakes of the past is now officially over. It is done. The time for trying to fix or focus on the past has ended. The era of Republican navel-gazing, done. We have turned the corner on regret, recrimination, self-pity, and self-doubt.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Good
and
for
as
you.
Ronald Reagan said, oh, wait, that would be looking
oh,
back.
By the way, so you know what else they're doing? The RNC is going to pass this resolution asking the Democrats to rename their party the Democrat Socialist Party in direct conflict with what Michael Steele asked them to do. That, and they're not letting him, control the money. But other than that, they're all on the same page, and they're completely blind.
We're going to demand the Democrat Party call themselves a stupid duty head. Goo-goo caca party.
Jim, you know who they should just make the head of the RNC? Meghan McCain, because she thinks they should be a pro-young, pro-sex woman party.
Hello.
What? Hello.
It can be a party for a 24-year-old pro-sex woman. It can be. I just think that we have people that are in this party that are hijacking it and trying to make it even more extreme.
Okay.
Whoa,
24-year-old pro-sex party.
You could.
Where's
you
my
could
invitation?
You could be the head of the woman pro-sex party.
The 24-year-old woman pro-sex party.
Okay. Women that are pro-sex. Hello now.
And still blondes.
Still sounds like she said pro-sex, which is
something completely different.
Ooh, that's something with a chart and a pointer.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for us today. Don't forget, in hour two tomorrow, Senator Byron Dorgan of the great state of North Dakota. And we have another Congress critter.
Gerald Nadler.
Mm-hmm. Great state of New York tomorrow.
That's right.
And then Carol Leifer in hour number three in this very hour for the whole hour, as my friend Larry King would say. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris Lemoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.
From the National Institutes of Health, this is HealthBeat. Sleepiness and fatigue. They contribute to lapses in attention, slowed reaction times, errors in working memory, reduced ability to learn, and difficulties with problem solving. These factors are made all the more dangerous when people force themselves to stay awake. At a recent National Center on Sleep Disorders research conference, Dr. David Dinges of the University of Pennsylvania emphasized that blatant acceptance of sleepiness should be outlawed by society.
The willful or motivated
Overriding of sleepiness by people is the single largest unspoken barrier we face in getting people to confront sleepiness as an unstable biological state that can intrude into waking functioning and lead to catastrophic outcomes. It's not funny in a 17-year-old kid in a car at night. We got to get over the cuteness of sleepiness and confront the biological danger of sleepiness in the workplace.
For more information on sleep disorders and how to overcome them, visit health.nih.gov. For HealthBeat, I'm Phil Stevenson.